Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio 26th. I'm joined by JB. How are we, Jonathan?
Doing just fine, man. Feels good to be back. Feels like we've been gone for like a month, but it's only been like a week.
Yeah, we've been gone for some time. Last one was our March Madness special. A lot of things have gone down in the world of sports, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, you name it. We are back in the saddle. We are live. You're in Indianapolis. I'm actually up north in Florida, Indiana tonight. Out of town for work this week, so we are remote, and the sun is shining, so I there's no better time.
Right, spring is sprung here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, absolutely. I played golf yesterday after work, so it was glorious. So a little chilly, but not too bad. John, let's start with the first, the big thing, the NCAA tournament. We are down to the final 16 teams. Before we talk to a Sweet 16 preview, give me some notes that you, thoughts on how the opening 4 days went, in your opinion.
The opening 4 days. Good question, Brandon. Well, of course, my bracket didn't go unscathed. You know, I consider myself somewhat of a college basketball aficionado. Because I watch college basketball on a Saturday after Saturday after Saturday through the regular season. But there's also, I mean, of course, there's some things that you know, are going to be missed. So kind of taken aback that, or I'm not kind of taken aback, just take that back. I'm kind of surprised that the Pac-10, 12, dang, I'm always saying Pac-10.
No respect.
Yeah. The Pac-12 is still in it to win it with Oregon, right, in the Sweet 16. I was kind of surprised by Nevada bowing out a little early. No other real surprises. The Big East not having anybody, you know, from their conference representing in the Sweet 16 was kind of a surprise. And when we get to that, I know a little bit later, but Purdue putting the beat down on Villanova, that was a shocker in the fashion that it went down. But other than that, no other. I mean, of course, I picked some teams that I thought would go a little bit further. But this is kind of the 16. I haven't really looked at my bracket outside of the first week, but this is kind of none of the teams here represented, with the exception of Oregon, I'm not surprised about.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. My bracket looks relatively unscathed. looks like it wasn't very many problems with mine. Just for note, me and you, the two Crossroads Sports guys, are first and second in the Crossroads Sports Bracket Challenge. So just going to...
Well, We must know what we're talking about just a little bit.
Shout out to Lou, Fairleigh Dickinson. They won the first game, and then, as we expected, took a beatdown by Gonzaga. So, Lou, if you're out there, they put a good effort in.
They did. I think a lot of people this year, Brandon, just kind of, what they call it, chalk it up, and just went with the favorites. And sometimes you got to look at those mid-majors like a Bradley, like a St. Mary's. I'm trying to think who else kind of stunned some people the first day out. But those
Murray State. I mean, Murray State's an NBA player, but
yeah. Well, you talked to the guy that picked Marquette, and I thought it was gonna be a good game. That didn't turn out to be the case. But you got to look at those mid majors and really dive into who they played during the regular season. Sometimes you know mid majors beat. Big Ten teams or beat SEC teams, you know, and you got to kind of pay attention. You can't just because they had a bad regular season or just a fair regular season doesn't mean they can't, you know, have success in the tournament.
Right. Agree. We talk about Liberty. Liberty's a team, 12 seed, beat Mississippi State and then lost by 9 to Virginia Tech. They had Virginia Tech on the ropes there in the second half of that game. Another one we talk about, UC Irvine. If you remember back our radio show for the selection special, I said if there was one game I think would be my go-to upset dog, it'd be UC Irvine over Kansas State. And they just ran out of steam somehow, it looks like, against Oregon. Oregon's hot currently. yeah, you talk about the Pac-12 not showing so well, but then Oregon sitting here coming out of nowhere. They did win the Pac-12 tournament. I tell you, I'm really surprised on how Iowa has played both their games, beating Cincinnati, coming back in the second half, and then taking Tennessee to overtime. I mean, my God, if you're Purdue, you got a chance to play Iowa in the Sweet 16 for a chance to go to the Elite Eight? Come on now.
Right. Well, I would show some gumps, some fat, getting down big in that game. They kind of made some bonehead plays throughout the game. Kind of spoiled the game for them at the end. But they made a valiant effort to come back, and that was actually a pretty good game Saturday. I'll get into it. The Big Ten next year is going to be even tougher, you would think. But I know we still got seasons left to play here, so we can't start talking about next year just yet.
Yeah, not yet. We can't talk about it yet. A couple other notes. Ohio State, they made another
that
charge as well. Yeah.
Shocker. Everybody thought Ohio State was going to be barely get in, right, to the tournament and be like a one, and like the, you know, be the first one out. The tournament, and here they win two. They had two wins.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a caller, so let's go ahead and take that in a second here. Hello, you're on the air with Crossroads Sports Radio.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Lou from New Jersey.
Lou, how are we, my man?
All right. I'm glad to see you remembered.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Well, all I can say is that Duke is lucky to be still being alive in the tournament. After the game Sunday, I'm like, oh, boy.
Well, yeah, that was a crazy
game,
ending.
But still, I mean, I didn't think it was going to be that close.
Yeah. UCF. And, you know, one thing I've noticed with Duke, and, you know, I've liked them for a long time, but you look at the player Zion, how effective he is with the game, Cam Reddish, R.J. Barrett. My thing is with I feel like R.J. Barrett puts Duke in a lot of really tough and bad situations, whether it be his passing, some bad shots he takes off balance or something. I don't know. I'm not as high on R.J. Barrett as a lot of other people are, I guess.
Oh, Barrett, I mean, you know, Barrett's a great player. I mean, he doesn't just need that. And, you know, he's going to enter the draft. I think we can give him a break.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Lou, I got to know. You're fairly Dickinson. They won the first game, their play-in game, and then they got the game that we talked about on Selection Sunday was the Gonzaga. So what was your thoughts of their performance in the tournament?
Well, I knew they were going to do well, and you know, and I was right. Just absolutely dreadful.
Now I will say, now you're over there on the East Coast. You're kind of close to that the East Coast vibe there. Now, here in Indiana, we have the Purdue Boilermakers, and they put a beatdown on that Villanova. Defending champs, I did not see that coming, even as a Boilermaker fan.
Hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
Which, as we say, Carson Edwards has now solidified his draft status. I think, John, I think you texted me that, actually, that night.
Yeah, he if he ain't gone now, I mean, he's walking paper. You better – he might as well – He's kind of proven that he's a scorer, and that's when he'll be on the next level. And, like, comparably to guys comparably in his size, I'd say, like, take, like, a Yogi Ferrell or even the kid that went to last year. My God, I can't remember his name. Went last year to Villanova that plays for Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kind of got the same body types. He'll be fine. He'll make it. Now, will he be drafted in the first round? Probably not. Because, again, the NBA goes into body types and length and potential. But he'll get drafted for sure in the second round.
Yeah, totally agree. Lou, what's some other thoughts you have about through the opening weekend?
Well, I'll just say that, you know, my bracket was busted from, like, midway through day one. So, right then and there, I was in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Louisville?
Yes.
Did you take Louisville?
I did not. I don't think I did take Louisville.
Okay. I know a lot of people did. I didn't take Louisville either. I'm just kind of wondering why you take your backwards bus. It's like what team failed on you?
I can't believe that, you know, that somebody out there in round two got all in the second round, a third round, got all their selections right. I'm like, what is their secret? Somebody with betters went perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, dude, those people do more, they do more than one bracket.
Yeah, they do. I think that's exactly what it is. I will say I am guilty of I had a couple of changes I kept going back and forth with. There's actually one in Indianapolis called, with their radio show, 1070 The Fan. They put on one. I'm actually in that
right.
one. It was 800 other people, and I'm in second place right now. I actually have all Sweet 16 teams correct. So I don't know how I did that one.
Wow.
I just was not a fan of Kansas State, and I didn't like Wisconsin. And UC Irvine, I saw them winning one. But I was like, well, Oregon. You know, they were hot in the Pac-12 tournament. So, but, one thing with this tournament now is we're going to start seeing, you know, the I think the bigger teams, your teams that have been there, your blue bloods are going to kind of show through
right.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead here at the Sweet 16, a lot of people are giving Va Tech a chance against Duke. I think they have a good chance. I think this time with Zion playing, he didn't play the first time. I think Duke actually does it. I think they pull away. I don't think they keep it as close as what they went through with UCF.
No.
They saw how close it came from disintegrating. Another one. Yeah. What's your thoughts on LSU? Because here's my thing. A lot of people are taking LSU minus the or plus the 6 points against Michigan State. I've learned not to bet against Izzo.
You don't bet against Izzo. My thoughts on LSU is they escaped Maryland. Maryland did a lot of bonehead things that Iowa did when they played Tennessee, and Maryland should have won that game.
Yeah.
So LSU kind of escaped. And, you know, you know, this tournament is a one-and-done tournament, so there we are. I don't give LSU any more. They'll be going back home this weekend.
Yeah. Gentlemen, my question, we're all older, so we've all grew up in a different era than what the kids are these days.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, for me, one instance, I don't have a problem at all with what Tom Izzo did. I know everybody's making a huge deal out of what he did with his player. What's your guys' thoughts?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he did what he had to do. I mean, that's the coach's job, to discipline the players when something doesn't go right. So I don't see what he's thinking about, and I don't think you need to apologize.
No, I don't think he does either. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I grew up in the era with Bob Knight and Gene Cady, and that was preschool compared to Bob Knight and Gene Cady.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can't compare that to Bob Knight, no way.
That was preschool compared to Bob Knight. So – again, and some other answers Bob Knight pulled, I'm not condoning or anything like that, but I'm just saying as far as like coaching and coaching hard, coaching tough, like what Coach Izzo did is preschool compared to what Bob Knight and Gene Cady.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob Knight's different altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like the main the spectrum. I don't know if you saw, I wish I had the clip. I didn't get it uploaded in time today. But Scott Van Pelt had a very good clip on his on SportsCenter the other night talking about how we need to let it go and this youth has grown up to be soft, and if they go into job interviews and they don't get the job and that they feel like they're entitled, they're given. I don't have a problem with coaching loud, coaching at a player. That's the way I grew up, and I got yelled at by my coaches as well. And I don't know. Maybe it was because he had a clenched fist. I don't know what people saw, and there's always somebody, I guess, that's going to complain. I guess that's what I'm going to say.
Right.
So
we live in a world
that,
now.
You know, he stepped the line over a little bit. Some people think, well, that's his job. So you know, everybody's going to have a different opinion on this.
Yeah. John, what are you saying?
We live in a world where you know everybody wants to make reactions, and honestly, I've seen a couple folks on Twitter. But just a couple. But the main one was Skip Bayless, and I can't even be like Skip Bayless. You know, remembers the time before I came into the world of like hard coaching. So I think people just take a side just to get reaction. I think that's also true.
Yeah, absolutely. one upset special, gentlemen, this weekend, or this, I guess, this week. I'm going to pick. I didn't pick it in my bracket, but looking at the Sweet 16 matchups, I'm not going to be surprised if Florida State knocks off Gonzaga. I like Florida State.
You know, Brandon, I have Gonzaga not. I don't have them beating. I have them beating Florida State, but I don't have them beating Michigan. So I don't think Gonzaga gets to the Final Four. To answer the question.
No. Okay. So I agree. I like the way Florida State's played there, and I guess for those gamblers out there, especially New Jersey, since it's legal there at New Jersey, Florida State is 6-1. As the underdog in the NCAA tournament, 6-1 their last 7 games. So take that, take it to the sports book, put $20 on it. Villanova and Oregon. I think this will be the end of the road for the Ducks. But you got to tell me, gentlemen, tell me this: did you not think that they were at halftime of that first game when Virginia was losing? Like, oh my God, are we going to do this again?
Yeah, that's my thought.
Oh. And at that point, you have to fire Tony Bennett, I feel like. I mean, would have just been.
Brent, if they fire Tony Bennett, he'd be hired by some SEC school tomorrow.
He might even be in Indiana.
No, he won't be here, but yeah.
He turned it down. Right,
did he turn it down, or did they eventually turn it? I mean, I know behind the scenes.
I feel like they, well, from what I heard, they turned him down. I mean, his wife was an IU graduate, too. So, and I know she wanted to come back.
Yeah, you know,
we'll see.
All IU fans want everybody they didn't get.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Purdue and Tennessee. Keep going back and forth on this game. I know our friend, Brandon Brantley, assistant coach for Purdue. I know he would kill us if we didn't choose Purdue in this game. I just don't know if Carson Edwards can have another performance just like that consecutively.
The
way his shooting was.
Let's forget about Holmes. I know Carson. I know Carson Edwards is 1 foot out of, 1 foot in, right? 42 points to do that for you. But can Holmes have the same kind of performance? You know, the good thing is that Purdue has enough tape, right? They played Tennessee last year. Right, and they kind of got upset. I think didn't they play in Maui?
They played them somewhere.
Yeah. But they should have enough tape, so they know what they can do. From a Big Ten standpoint, right? Tennessee has played Iowa, right? So they kind of know what they're getting into. I am fearful that there's a little bit more talent level and a little bit more mature level on Tennessee's side. So that's why I think it's going to be a tough contest, and it's going to be a contest which I don't think Purdue has. It's going to be a tough contest where Purdue can't get down 20 some points.
Oh yeah, I'm nervous with the bigs for Tennessee. Obviously, I think they're more athletic than Purdue. Point guard wise, I think the edge goes to Purdue there, but Klein's got to stay on hitting threes. I know he finally started picking it up there. I just can't see Purdue going back out and shooting 17 three-pointers and hitting them. I like Rick Barnes as a coach. I think they'll develop a good game plan. Close game, but I think Tennessee gets the Boilermakers.
Ooh, I think I picked it in my bracket, Tennessee, but I'm changing. I mean, obviously my bracket is my sheet of integrity, but I'm going with Purdue.
Luke, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's gonna be a tough matchup. I mean, you know, it's gonna be a fairly close game. Tennessee's gonna hang in there, but I don't think it's gonna be enough.
Yep. Okay. And then down in the Midwest, we've got Carolina and Auburn. The Auburn Tigers, Nick Peterson's team. He said they would be watching out for. They are on a roll right now. Almost gave it up in their first game against New Mexico State. They almost wanted to just give it to them, but they've righted the ship against Kansas. Now they're going to take on North Carolina. I think Carolina will run away with this game. Expect a shootout, take the over, because the over-under is set kind of low, I believe, if I remember right.
Yeah, Coach Pearl got him believing. But unfortunately, I think talent wins out and North Carolina wins.
Yeah, I agree. And then the final one, Houston versus Kentucky. Coach Cal against Calvin Sampson, so the criminals, I guess. I know your boy, Coach Cal.
Hey.
Sorry.
Cal's title still intact that he won. It's still intact.
It is for now. The NCAA is supposed to come out with that investigation or whatever or not, so I'm sure there's still time for that.
We'll see.
Houston. John, does Houston have a shot to upset Kentucky here?
Houston surely does have a shot because P.J. Washington from Kentucky ain't playing. He's not in the soft boot. He's in the cast. And, you know, he's also looking at an NBA future, maybe not necessarily a lottery pick, but he's also, like I said, he's also definitely looking at the first rounder. I think there was some, I looked at a couple draft boards, and the Pacers had his name kind of, you know, lined up with him falling to the Pacers in some draft scenarios, right? But regardless of all that, Kentucky did look a little vulnerable weekend, just a little bit, but just like they got some blue chippers out there to kick it into another gear. But Houston is a team that is kind of they're all going, you know, they're kind of in tune, they're very in tune rather, and they've won all year. So again, that's a toss up. I still have to go with the blue chippers, and I think Kentucky wins out.
Okay, yeah, I do think it'd be good. It's going to be one of the best games, honestly, of the Sweet 16 with these two. And hey, Calvin Sampson, this might not be the only time you're playing a SEC team in the near future. Apparently, the rumor mill we're seeing today is that Arkansas is going to be going after Calvin Sampson this offseason. So,
yeah, I heard his name with Arkansas and Alabama potentially.
Yeah, your boy Avery Johnson canned after losing that first round NIT game.
Busted.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. John, I guess we've got, let's see, anything else on this basketball? We talked about that. Oh, well, while we got you here on, Lou, the NIT, we got to talk about our local team here who somehow is playing still in this, the Indiana Hoosiers, actually playing right now against Wichita State. They're up 10-9. John, nothing makes me more sick than hearing Romeo Langford still out with an injury. Because you know, sure as hell, if they were in this NCAA tournament, he would be playing.
Right.
Archie said today before the game, well, Romeo's progressing pretty well, and if we make it to next week, we'll expect him to play. Well, you know what that means. It's the big bright lights in New York City. Well, another way to showcase yourself and to improve that draft stock. We're not stupid. I mean, come on.
So. Yeah, no, the Hoosiers are playing better without him. So the coach needs to sack up. The program as a whole needs to sack up. And obviously he's not playing tonight, but they just need to sack up. And if they need to part ways, and it's better be over. You know what I mean? Like I said, the team's playing better without him.
Yeah. Okay. Lou, my man, any final things with college basketball?
Yeah, No, that's just about it, really.
Okay. All right. You want to give your plug for your show again?
I'd be glad to. The Enhanced Sports Show. It's on Saturday nights, 6 to 8 p.m. in the East. You said you're in Indiana, right?
Correct. We are in the East Coast.
In your case, it's I think 5 to 7. I think you're an hour behind me.
No, we're the same.
Oh, it is? Okay. I thought Indiana was an hour behind.
All well, right, we've got a mixed up time zone here. We got two time zones in one state, which is already enough.
Just like Florida, right? Okay, well then, in your case, it is 6 to 8 p.m. The number is 712-775-7035. PIN number is 410173. We'll discuss the Sweet 16. Also, opening day in baseball, which is going to be Thursday, the U.S. opener, that is. Yeah, because Japan had their opener.
Yep.
Yeah. And, of course, with NBA and NHL wrapping up their seasons shortly, we'll take care of that and everything else that you need to know and any stuff you don't want to know. So if you get a chance on Saturday, call in.
All right. Sounds good. Lou, take care. We'll see you. We'll see you again, my friend.
Right. And remember the pound sign.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks for calling.
All right, that was Lou from New Jersey again, John. Reoccurring guest now on the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. Love it. You say his name and he pops up. I love it. We talked about it earlier with Fairleigh Dickinson. Shout out to Lou. All right, looking ahead, John. Let's, by the way, 10 miles out at Nebraska, Freddie Hoiberg possibly being linked to come in there. Would you rather have, if you're Hoiberg, would you rather go to Nebraska or UCLA? Because he's been linked to both.
Hoiberg had great success with Iowa State. I don't even know why he ever left there. I mean, I know why he did. We both know why he did. But I don't know why he really left Iowa State. He was challenged. He was making a challenge, you know what I'm saying, to take the title away from Kansas at some point, you would think. Nebraska, man, UCLA, with the Pac-12 being down as it is, but there's still pressure out there in that UCLA for them to
anybody.
Win.
Anybody?
So
yeah.
Right. But he's not as. I don't think he's as high profile as what they're looking for out in UCLA. Even though I get it that they've kind of attached their names to him with our pricing out was right. But Nebraska, yeah. I mean, the expectations are, you know, if we get in, they just want to make the tournament at this point, I think. And he seems to be like a good, you know, smaller, bigger school program builder. So I would, you know, if I'm Hoiberg's position, take the Nebraska job for sure.
Yep. Okay. All right. Let's go to a little NBA action. The Indiana Pacers had a good win the other night against Denver, 124-88. Yeah, they needed it. They also got to clinch the playoff spot. So now the Pacers are still sitting, I believe, in the four seed, if I'm not wrong. And then they play, I believe, tomorrow night. Is that correct?
They play Oklahoma.
Ooh, Paul George going to him and Russell. They knocked off the Thunder a couple weeks ago when they were here in Indianapolis. I think it'll be a little bit tougher this time, obviously, over there in OKC, unless Sabonis just goes off in his return.
Yeah. I think they also then they come back home and play Boston this weekend.
Yeah, this is a tough schedule.
It's a tough schedule, but Boston is not playing. Boston is not connected at all, and that's something that Brad Stevens preaches about connectivity. The Boston's not connected at all. So before they get to Boston, playing Oklahoma, believe it or not, Oklahoma is currently eighth in the West. For all that hoopla about MVP Paul George, right? We had a couple weeks ago about people speculating could he be the MVP, and obviously Russ and how hard he plays and some of the other controversy that kind of spilled over with Russ and fans and him getting into with fans is kind of the Thunder are only eighth,
yeah,
in the West, you know. So I don't know. I mean, you know, NBA games, you know, they'll probably win. I think the Pacers will get. There's one thing you will never doubt about the Pacers, callers, whether our listeners, whether you are a fan of the Pacers or not. Even if they get blown out, you will always see max effort from the Pacers. You will always see max effort. I promise you. There will be no, and there's really no right now locker room problem outside of, you know, Tyreke Evans. But he wasn't really expected to do a whole lot for the Pacers anyway, right? So
yeah.
you always see max effort for the Pacers. We, you know, the Pacers are still in the fourth and fifth. You know, they flip the bottom between fourth and fifth. And that's kind of where, I mean, they obviously want the fourth seed so they can have more home games and an opportunity to, to play at home, right? Because the Pacers have to play better at home, right?
Yeah.
They played out of Denver, got blown out, and then they played Denver here and blew Denver out. So, in my personal opinion, I think Denver has better talent than the Pacers, or more mature talent, right? With other people being out. But the Pacers are going to be fine. They're going to limp into the – I think they're going to ultimately limp into the fourth playoff seed and have to play Boston. And and it'll probably go to 6 or 7.
Yeah. I think, you know, looking at it now, if I had to put a hand on trigger, what I'm going to choose here, I think the Pacers end up with the 5th seed, playing Boston, obviously, because Philadelphia is going to run away from these two, and Detroit's not going to catch them. But Indiana going to Boston, I think the Celtics win it in possibly 5 or even 6.
Woo! Not 5.
I think they're going to get it together. You know, it's like we said, the NBA is a long season. Once it starts getting right at playoff time, these guys will get it together. Boston's on a 4-game losing streak. But what cures a 4-game losing streak, John? Tell me one thing.
A 3-game win streak.
That's right. That's right. And it starts tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. What better team to play than the Cavaliers?
Yeah, the Cavaliers. Well, the Cavaliers are sneaking one on you. They sneak one on the Pacers.
Yeah.
They're a capable team, believe it or not. But they're also a team that's in opposite transition. And it'll be interesting to see. If we come find out Boston Celtics lost tonight, then there'll be more speculation of what's going on with their locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking for an NBA game tonight to watch, 8 o'clock TNT tonight, the Houston Rockets against Giannis and the Bucks. That'll be a great one to watch. So, ticket's $63. I just saw on here. Low is $63 for the Rockets and Bucks. Come on, Milwaukee, show up to your games. John, tell me, did you see Nurkic? Did you see his injury last night?
Man, I don't watch. Anytime somebody says there's a gruesome injury, I automatically don't watch. So no, I get it that his ankle is discombobulated or going the wrong way. So no, I don't want to look at that.
It was gruesome. It was gross. It reminded me kind of the Paul George injury, obviously from the All-Star game. And I'm sorry, but there was a referee, Tyler Ford, who was a Ball State graduate, who I went to school with. He was on the baseline when it happened, and as he was walking over to it, he actually tripped over the foot that was broke. He actually hit the leg. Come on, Tyler. Tyler got roasted on Twitter. Tyler Ford, NBA ref. Damn, got to do better than that. Just get away from it. But, yeah, Terry Stotts, yeah. Portland coach, is crying. Just was not a good sight to see last night. Very gruesome injury happened. Go ahead and finish, my man.
No, I heard Nurkic. I'm obviously going to rehab it and hope he comes back better. I just kind of wonder, last 4 years with Oladipo and even going back to Paul George's injury and even with Gordon Hayward's injury, like, man, what's going on? I mean, I don't know. What is it? Is it in something? Is it in their training? Is it in their shoes? Like, I don't know. I mean, I know science seemingly has an answer for everything, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't recall any type of these injuries being in, like, the 90s. As far as guys, you know, saying with that level of injury, like there's always guys, you know, that ACLs and Achilles,
right.
But never to this.
Okay. Anything?
I just wonder.
Yeah. Anything else you want to finish on NBA?
Let me think. I'm tired of LeBron talk. That's a bunch of pile. I'm tired of seeing memes about LeBron. I really am, man, because, you know, it's a pile on. It's a pile on. I don't – why talk about a non-playoff team anyway? You know, and I get that LeBron always posts on social media about coming back harder. Nobody will ever doubt LeBron James' work ethic, or you shouldn't. You should never doubt that. He's the ultimate stay-in-shape guy, just like Tom Brady, right? But I will say this, and I will end my Lakers talk. They got a lot of work to do as a team. And as far as acquiring talent and being on the same page, and that kind of starts at the top in the manager office. I'm saying so. That's my take on the Lakers.
Okay. Interesting. I thought it was funny that D'Angelo Russell was the one to knock the Lakers out of the playoffs. Obviously, he played for the Lakers. So D'Lo, or D. Russ getting it back at him. We're gonna finish on some quick hitters. First one I have, real quick, MLB. Lou kind of hinted at it already earlier. MLB starts on Thursday already. My God, last year the season started on the day of the national championship, on that April, whatever the day it was, when the national title for basketball was. But baseball season starts 2 days. I don't know how many games they can actually have up here. I'm sure the Cubs or whoever's going to get snowed out or whatnot. Or the Reds. Yeah, it's supposed to rain for Cincinnati. But opening day, always a great time in America. If you get to a game, get to it. And locally here, the Indianapolis Indians start April 11th. First game, 60-degree guarantee. If it's below 60 degrees at first pitch, everybody gets a free ticket to a future Indians game. So Indianapolis Indians, there's your plug for April 11th home opener, Victory Field. Get there. John, let's talk a little Rob Gronkowski retiring from the NFL.
Man.
Shocked the world. Shocked it.
Shocker, not a shocker, not a shocker. He kind of flirted with this, right? Last three seasons. He seemingly got like an entertainment bug, you know what I'm saying? Got the entertainment bug in him. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think he can make money. You know what I'm saying? Big money. Either on TV or either on movies or some other, you know, media format. And at 29 years old, why keep on playing and beating your body up when, you know what I'm saying, you got a boatload of money and a handful of Super Bowl rings. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and guess what, Brandon? It ain't like if he gets bored in the next year that he can't come back. But
exactly.
Yeah, kind of.
And did you hear? Did you hear Rosenhaus today or
what's
yesterday?
That?
Rosenhaus said we are not going to rule out Rob retired right now and then coming back for the playoffs.
Oh wow!
So
that's
interesting. I can see him coming back this year. I can see it coming back this year. He doesn't care about preseason. He doesn't care about regular. You see what happened when he set out the regular season, most like four or
Brandon.
Five games. He
Brandon.
Was fresh for the playoffs.
Brandon.
What?
He ain't on Favre. He ain't on Favre level. He ain't on Favre. I mean, he's a Patriot, so I'm not going to say I like Rob Gronkowski, but he ain't on Favre level to be saying like he don't want to play preseason and go through OTAs. And nah, he's not on Favre level. He's not. I'm not saying it was cool for that Brett Favre to do it, but he's not on Favre level to be doing all that. So Drew Rowhausen needs to shut it.
Okay. ranking wise, I got him number 4 on my all-time tight end list.
Man,
number
I'm
4.
I'm glad you brought that up, man, because I actually talked about that, man, because I've been to a couple of barbershops this week, and you know, talked about it with, you know, I haven't been to barbershop. Obviously, if anybody in the Crossroads Sports family knows me, I got hair long down to my shoulders, right? So I haven't been to a real barbershop in a long time. But you know, a lot of times it's where a lot of these greatest of all time conversations start, right?
Yeah.
So I go to a couple barbershops that I frequent, Brandon, and like people start talking about different tight ends from various organizations in various decades, right? And you know, a lot of somebody that you like. I'm gonna go down my list of what I'm gonna tell you who I think it is, right? I don't like greatest of all time. Anyway, like saying the one guy's the greatest of all time, that's kind of what's too fluid, right? But there is there's a list of guys that need to be talked about if we're gonna start playing. So here it is. Greg Olsen. Not saying he's in the conversation for top 10. Greg Olsen, right? Still playing, got 57 touchdowns, and he's 3-time Pro Bowler. Still playing. I'm not saying he's better than Gronkowski, but he's in the conversation. Okay. Obviously, the next guy I'm getting ready to say from Dallas Cowboys, Jason Witten, 11-time Pro Bowler. You know what I'm saying? He's living this. He's got like almost 68 touchdowns, and he just came out of retirement, so that number's gonna go up, right? Hopefully, right?
Right.
One guy near and dear to your heart, Heath Miller. How could you not say Heath Miller? 2-time Super Bowl champion, 45 touchdowns, you know what I mean? 2-time Pro Bowler, right? But those are the guys that you would like mention around, like, hey, these guys should be mentioned in the top 10. Now, when you start talking about legends, you're talking about Mike Ditka, right? You're talking about Ozzie Newsome. Those guys are legends and a down there, like, untouchable, like wherever you want to rank them, you know what I'm saying? But they got to be in the top five, right? My favorite, who I will argue with anybody, Shannon Sharp, four-time All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, three Super Bowl rings with two different teams, and he got 62 touchdowns in his career. So I would put Shannon Sharp numbers up there with anybody, anybody. Anybody, Shannon Sharp. But
okay. I actually didn't have him.
I had him at number five. Well, yeah, when you look at production-wise, that's got to be Antonio Gates or Gonzalez.
Yep.
They got to be one and two. If you're gonna rank them, they got to be one and two.
That's my number one and two.
That's what I've been wanting to. Gronk leapfrogs a lot of guys because he played a lot. When you look at it on TV, he's unguardable. Like, man, it does. Like, dude, who are you gonna put on him? You gonna put a small safety? You gonna put a corner on him? He's bigger than him. You know what I'm saying? He's unguardable. If you put a big guy on him, he's gonna outrun him. You know what I mean? So Gronk gets, like, when you look at it on, like I said, when you look at him on the field, like, man. But he missed a lot of games, right, regular season games due to injury. And he did, he doesn't have the long. He's only played, I'm not saying only. He's only played 9 years in the NFL. So, but if you ask me, but like I said, because of the big plays he was capable of making and his Super Bowl appearances, of course, yeah, he's definitely in the top four. Definitely.
Okay. Some of my list you kind of touched on. I actually have Shannon Sharp at number six on my list, not five. Actually, I have him at number six. Shout out to my dad for number five. I did ask him who he thought, and he actually, one of his boys that played for the Raiders, Dave Casper. Now, I don't know much about Dave Casper. I did look up his stats. Voted to a Pro Bowl five times, Super Bowl champion five times, first team All-Pro, All-Decades team in the 70s, 378 receptions, 5,000 yards, and 52 touchdowns. And he's in the Pro Bowl, Pro Football Hall of Fame. So Dave Casper, John Mackey. I mean, Mackey's got an award named after him, good grief, in college football. you know, I've got him up there. I've also got, as we mentioned, I have Jason Witten, not an honorable mention, at like seven. But Gates at number two. And I have Tony Gonzalez at number three. Or excuse me, Tony Gonzalez is number one on my list.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me the other day, I said, hey, Tony G, man, the dude is, yes, he didn't never get that Super Bowl title. But I think it has more to do than just Super Bowls as well. I mean, he had 120 starts. That's the second most for tight ends. 2000s All-Decade team. NFL records, not just his stats, but NFL records for career receiving yards, 15,000. Receptions, 1,300. Touchdowns, 111. 14 record Pro Bowls. 6 first-team All-Pros. What a player. 11 years with the Chiefs. And then, I believe, 6 years with the Falcons. So Tony G.
Brandon.
The Gronkowski.
He might even have a Sweet 16 in the final in the NCAA tournament because he played for Cal. And, you know, an interesting tidbit, I keep your thought because I want you to finish. Pat Riley once said that if he was going to play basketball, if Tony Gonzalez would play basketball, he would have had drafted. I don't know if he's gonna draft him first round. He just said he would have drafted him. He would have liked to have him on his team. But I think Gonzalez would have played shooting guard. He played small forward at Cal. He would have had to play shooting guard. But luckily, he made the right decision to play football. He's after a better football player than he was a basketball player, but he wasn't a bad basketball player at all.
Okay, interesting. Oh, and your boy. I don't know if you follow Gil Brandt much on NFL.com. He actually wrote an article back last year about his greatest NFL tight ends ever. And I was great at top 14. Number 12 was Shannon Sharp. So just wanted to put that out there for you.
No, Shannon Sharp's a little bit higher than 12, I promise you.
Was he yelling skip in his sleep? Skip, skip.
Let's get it.
What's your thoughts on the Big Brawler, the Big Baller brand? Looks like it's coming to an end.
Yeah, it was ill conceived in the first place, man. And I get it that you want to own your own brand and not necessarily be, I won't say a slave, but a spokesperson to a Nike or Adidas. But there's ways to utilize whatever offers Nike or Adidas were giving you and then kind of build your own brand, right? And you don't have necessarily, you know, when that whole thing spilled out, I couldn't believe it. Like, I remember Kobe Bryant when he got out of high school, he signed with Adidas. But what does everybody wear now? Kobe Bryant. Like, he's a Nike guy, right? So he wore Adidas for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or whatever. And then once that deal was up, Nike said, okay, here's the cash, Kobe. And, you know, here you are. But I get it that, you know, but you know what, Brandon? What one-and-done guys, parents, this includes Jason Tatum's mom, too, and anybody else's parent who wants to micromanage their son's career, when your child becomes a pro, you have to let them be an adult and be a pro, right? So, Brandon, he actually, I'm sorry, Crossroads America, he actually jacked off whatever Adidas money or Nike money that they offered him. That's 2 years of messed up money.
Yeah.
It is. So, there you go. I mean, and now it's kind of like, you know, fall apart. Now, you know, Lonzo's becoming a more of an adult now, more of his own man. Hey, seeing that, hey, everybody, this guy's over here making this deal as far as endorsement. This guy's over here. I'm getting, all I got is my NBA check, which is fine, but it's not fine when everybody else is getting 3 or 4 different checks.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I hope everything works out for him.
No news today, really, besides the one guy who was going to call out Nike. He already said something about DeAndre Ayton, which we already knew that. So I know he got the gag order, not to say a word about it. But,
right.
I mean, like you said on Twitter, the Wildcats have suffered enough. Plus, this was last year's news. B, the dude wanted $22 million to keep quiet. And C, paying players sure doesn't guarantee a Final Four bid. Allegedly.
Right. Allegedly, that's what happened. It doesn't, we can talk about that ad nauseum about paying players and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know. The lawyer, you know, went to Nike and said, hey, I won't say a word if you give me this money or put me on a payroll. Well, hey, man, bye. And he got arrested for it. So him putting that on Twitter, yeah, it caused a little bit of a stir and it gets posted or retweeted or whatever. And that's great because people are chat about it, and then it says, "Hey, they, you know, guys, these schools are making all this money, or whatever, blah, blah, blah." And that whole conversation just regurgitates. But Michael Anthony, he just gets more famouser. That's all it is. It's a publicity stunt.
Was that not crazy? How right after he tweeted that out, then he was arrested.
Right after, I don't think it was 10 minutes. It was like 10 minutes. He got arrested.
I said, "My God, that was quick." So, a few other things I did see today that in 2016, this would have been dear to your heart. And I know you can go another hour or so, but we don't have the time tonight. 2016, the Colts and Peyton Manning came very, very close to giving Peyton the president and general manager position.
Man, I need to read that story.
I will credit RTV6 with that report.
It's something that the Colts fans want. I don't think Ursay wants it because he wouldn't have control of his product.
He wanted it. He wanted it.
Oh,
that's what I read. That's what I read, yeah.
And it ain't
Peyton wasn't ready.
And the Peyton wasn't ready or the check wasn't big enough. I wonder.
Could have been both.
Well, here's the thing. The Colts are in a good place right now with Ballard. Chris Ballard knows what the heck he's doing. Okay, and I ain't saying that, you know, saying next year's Colts team is going to win a Super Bowl. I'm saying he looked at what a team needs, and he addresses it, period.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. Here we are getting ready to go to the draft, and if you're a Colts fan, you can say, hey, man, the defense sure looks good, doesn't it? It sure does now. Everybody's re-upped, and we got linebacker from Kansas City, right, who's not beat up, broken up. right? And we didn't pay a whole heck of a lot of money to get him. He got a nice chunk of change, but it wasn't. We didn't break the bank. And we put the one kid. We put the one kid from Carolina on a 1-year deal. Show us improvement. Yeah, it's $14 million, but you know, we got players turning down $14 million contracts in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
So going into the draft, he'll address. I'm assuming tight end. I'm sorry, not necessarily tight end, wide out. Maybe it will be a tight end, but I'm assuming he'll address a wide out, or I'm assuming he'll address even a running back in some of the later rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, coaches need playmakers, and I think that's what he'll address.
Absolutely. And final thing I have for tonight's show, if I can play the sound clip.
Oh my God! I knew it was coming.
I gotta know that whistle. Walking Dead, John. I was jipped out of the final 25 minutes, so I watched it Sunday night. On afterwards, was jipped 25 minutes. Didn't know until Monday afternoon that I missed 35 minutes of it, which was the craziness. And I went back Monday night and watched it. Wow. All I got to say, wow. Your thoughts?
Yeah, watching episodes of Walking Dead are emotional swings, are they not? Even the episode before this, when Michonne was getting ready to chop up the little kids, well, they didn't show it, but, you know, Sean was fighting the little kids with the sword. Those are emotional swings, man. You know, when they introduced these whisperers, I wasn't sold on it, Brandon. I wasn't sold on none of them. Not the big, creepy guy, not Alpha. The other day, what did I tell you? I was like, dude, she's worse than the governor.
Ooh.
She's worse than the governor. She's almost worse than almost. She's almost.
Shout out Herschel.
She's almost worse. She's almost worse than Negan. Almost. But she's.
Okay.
But she's getting there. She's getting there. And they're going to need his help to get rid of her.
Tell me, John. Tell me. What was your thoughts when they started walking up and you saw the pikes? When you didn't know who it was at first, but you knew something was brewing.
Man, I couldn't get over the fact that she speak for you. that creeped me out right there when you told Daryl, did she speak for you or did she speak for all of you? Well, when I saw the pipe, I mean, again, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was, but like when you saw it, like that's cool, man. Like not only did she kill the people, she didn't kill them. She's like, I'm gonna make a message. I'm gonna send you a message. This is how crazy I am. Because you know, if you don't kill somebody in Walking Dead, you gotta stab them in the head.
Yeah.
And she just put everybody's head on a pike. And they're just, oh, man, this messed up.
Any killings up. You were upset with? You okay with Tara?
Again, yeah, dude, again, if you ever kill the following, Rick, Michonne, Daryl.
Judith.
No. Oh, yeah. Judith. The show's over.
Ooh.
The show will be over.
Where's Maggie been?
They kind of had to write her out, dude, because she's got her own. She got another show.
So she's
just
out of
the. Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna recast that. I don't know if they're gonna recast that role, but they kind of like phased her out.
I was gonna say I haven't seen her in episode after episode, so I don't know. Couple things I have. One, I wish the whiny kid that. Took the neck with all this started because of. Glad he was gone as a character.
Yeah,
but
gone.
I felt like they could have went a couple more episodes with him and the girl and maybe built something with that. I will give credit to the directors and the creative for Walking Dead are amazing. I love the violin version of the Walking Dead theme as they're showing all the heads. And flashing back to the fair that they had, I thought that was brilliantly done. Brilliantly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was something to be reckoned with. She's something, like I said, as a character, she's something to be reckoned with. She's got her own zombie horde.
Yeah, that horde was crazy.
Yeah,
the only person to kill that is Rick.
The horde, yes. The horde, yes. The only, well, nah, dude, you... Brandon, just wait. Just wait, man. Wait till they unleash Negan. Negan's going to be like their nuclear bomb. He's going to be like their nuclear bomb that you call upon. Like, we had to unleash. Like, you were so evil, Alpha, we had to unleash the devil on you. And that's what it's going
to
be.
Is he going to do this to her? Give her the whistle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be that one gif I've sent you where he's knocking on that door. Little pig, let
little
me
pig.
In.
Alpha, Alpha.
Oh. What if there's a big horde coming, and this is a couple seasons down the line. Negan's starting to fight them off. They're getting pushed back. And then out of the corner on the horse rides Rick and Negan side by side fighting. All is forgiven.
But here's the thing, Brandon. Rick's going to come back. Rick's obviously going to come back and have traumatic amnesia. Like, he's not going to know he's not going to know anybody. He's not going to know he's not going to remember. They're going to have to tell him, right? He might even come back as an enemy. What if they encounter Rick and he's an enemy?
Oh, man. I like how they gave a little subtle image of him, because when Michonne found his gun, I liked that. Mm-hmm. It was in the dirt. We got 3 minutes left. What? Any final thoughts from you?
Dude, I'm so in tune, outside of the world of sports, you know, I'm so in tune to the next couple movies that come out. Shazam comes out April 5th.
Then, with Shaq?
No, not Kazam, Shazam. A fun family film movie. You need to take the girlfriend. And then Endgame Avengers Endgame will sit everybody down. I promise you.
Oof, okay. Quick review for me on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being bad, 10 being amazing, awesome, badass. The Us movie with Jordan Peele. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to this week. Thoughts?
My thoughts is, wow, it was weird.
I can't believe you took your daughter to the movie.
Well, that's true. She wanted to go see it.
Nightmares.
She's a teenager now. Ain't no nightmares. She's a nightmare now. But no, it was a good movie. It's a thought-provoking movie. I don't want to spoil it for you. So it's not necessarily what everybody thinks. Not necessarily scary either. Okay.
Okay.
I will tell you
that.
But it's a very thought-provoking, layered movie.
Okay.
In the vein of like Alfred Hitchcock and Twilight Zone, like that layered.
Okay, perfect. About a minute left. Any final thoughts? We will get another show next week, and then we're going to probably start doing hopefully soon two a week.
Two a day.
I'm thinking of football. Two a days.
Let's go after 1070, right? You know what I'm saying? Go Duke.
All right, go Duke. Go Duke. Watch the games this Thursday. Going to be great. Thursday night on. And me and John will be back with you guys next week with another Crossroads Sports Show. John, take it easy, my friend.
All right, you too. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Crossroads Sports.